Hey, what's going on, everyone? My name is J.R. Robinson, and I'd like to welcome you to When He Speaks Erotica from a Man's Perspective. And first of all, let me say, I listened to my last podcast, and I think it's something with the software as far as my introduction. It came out kind of crappy, so I want to apologize for that. Because like I've always said, I don't edit, and when I heard that, I think I need to change that thought process, because it didn't come out, even though the podcast itself came out all right, it was just that introduction part that was messed up. So I want to apologize for that. We'll do my best to make sure it don't happen again. Tonight's topic: outdoor sex, getting down and dirty in the woods. So please do me a favor, sit back and relax. And I'll be right back with the question of the night. Tonight's question is, why is crushing on friends complicated? Now, in my personal opinion, I believe that having a crush on a friend is an extreme form of, narcissism. It's that belief that, you know, your friend will make a great lover, or that constant companion. And I also feel that people that crush often believe that they're in love, and that their friends should love them the way that they're expressing love. They often find themselves fixated on the idea of finding that perfect match. Some of the factors that make crushing hard is, it can make people feel uncomfortable. It can make them feel anxious. And there are ways to avoid these type of side effects. And I think one of the first things that you should do is ask yourself, why are you crushing on your friend? Or does your friend remind you of someone that you loved from your past? Is it that they make you laugh like that person did? Maybe because you think that they will be the perfect boyfriend or girlfriend, or the perfect partner. One of the things that comes from people having this idea that they can fall in love with their friend is loneliness. It may seem, counterintuitive, but significantly true, that being romantically involved with someone else can make you feel less lonely. I know plenty of people who have left this earth wishing that they had someone next to them before it was that time. I know someone close to me, and I saw them go through that. It was crushing. Let me find another word. It hurt to see that person go through that. When I was doing this research, I came across a study that was performed by some people at Stanford. And it said that women are more likely to find a cure for loneliness by crushing on a man than getting therapy. Let me say that again. Women find a cure for loneliness by crushing on a man than getting therapy. I'm going to have to agree with that. Because a lot of men don't have that, I'm not going to say problem, but that a lot of men don't go through that situation. It's quite easy. And I know it's easy for women, but women are not programmed mentally like men. Women are more into love. Men are more into physical love. You know, not every man, not every woman, just giving my opinion. So I may be wrong, but that's just my opinion. But a lot of men are not going to, even if they are lonely, first thing they're going to do is play PlayStation 5, or go shoot some pool, or, you know, go on a dating site to cure that loneliness. You know, I think you're just better off not crushing on your friends. I think it's one of those things that It's just too painful. It don't last. It's for the moment. It's for that brief moment of great sex, great conversation, and your mind playing tricks on you. You think that your best friend is supposed to be your world in a romantic way. And you can't have two. You can't. Not if you start, in my personal opinion, you can't have two if you start out as best friends. And then to a relationship. And what I mean by that is, if you have one person who don't see you as a partner romantically, it's not going to work. Because it's going to be one-sided. You're going to be the one crushing. You're going to be the one having feelings. And your friend is going to be trying to figure out, what the fuck? We friends. Why would you jeopardize that type of strong relationship for a brief moment of satisfaction? Now, don't get me wrong. Things happen. Feelings will develop. People are human. But if you got a good friend, if you got someone who you can count on, who's going to be there when you are in trouble, when you're sick, when a family member dies, when your child's getting ready to graduate, if you got someone who calls themselves a godparent to your child, if you got someone who will get up 3 o'clock in the morning because you're in jail, that's a friend. And to mess that up, to try to make a relationship out of that, it's probably not going to work. I think it's sad when someone like your best friend likes somebody and you find yourself being jealous. I've seen it many times. Because your best friend won't be with you, and they decide to be with someone else, you're not strong enough to be, hey, I'm happy for you. It's not me, but it's somebody else. I think also, it's far better to let those feelings go than suffer through the pain that will inevitably come from being rejected. Because if you have a friend who don't see you as someone that they want to sleep with or have a romantic relationship with, then guess what? You might get mad. Your friend may feel like, you know what, they done jeopardized what it is that we had. So you fuck around and probably lose that good friend all because you're crushing on them. And on that note, I am going to end this question of the night, and I'll be right back with the topic. The topic for tonight is getting down and dirty outside. Outdoor sex. Do you or your partner have a thing for great outdoors, for the great outdoors? Does the idea of male or female sexual gratification in the great outdoors sound appealing? Maybe you even fantasize about doing it outside. Truth be told, outdoor sex can be an amazing experience. But there's a couple of things I want to talk about when it comes to getting down and dirty outside. It can be particularly attractive because it's difficult to hide and the weather is unpredictable depending on what season you're outside and getting some nookie. Most people are familiar with having sex outside, but they're not to mention it because they're scared they're going to be judged. They're scared someone's going to be like, ugh, you was outside, you had bees and ants all up in there, you know? Just afraid to do something different. I'm not saying go in the backyard and say you humping outside your house. No, I'm talking about something behind the house, or go to a park where it's just nice and secluded, and take a chance. Give it a shot. What make outdoor sex so appealing is it's an opportunity to get fresh air, sunshine, without the unnecessary hustle and bustle of being inside having an indoor encounter. One of the first things you want to do is find a secluded area. Sexual activity can be more enjoyable when you have the ability to control the environment. When you go into the woods, you can block the view of other people as well as the sun while you're having sex in the woods, because you have privacy. Spending time in the woods can be a total sensual experience. From the rustling of leaves, chirping birds, to the smell of flowers. It's also the best way to just get away from it all. Just kind of like, you know what? Let me do something different. Let me just put this day behind me, or let me, feel good about myself. People usually have sex outdoors in broad daylight, but sometimes you may venture out there and take a chance and go and be intimate in the dark. Honestly, this is one situation I've never had. I've never had sex outside. I mean, in the woods. I've been on the beach and I've been in cars, vehicles. But to be in the woods, I think it almost happened one time, but she was scared. So this is one thing I can say that I can't check this one off. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not like I was scared or anything like that, but I found it to be interesting, but I just never pursued it, Something, the type of clothing that you should wear when you're outside getting ready to, get down and dirty is clothing with easy access. For women, you want to wear a dress with no underwear, with as little on as possible. Pull that dress up and just go for it. For men, you kind of like don't want to wear a lot of zippers. You don't want to have a zipper that you got to mess with. Nice pair of old jogging pants will do the job. Nice pair of gray jogging pants will do the job. Wearing skin-tight clothes, you might as well not do it. If you're going to wear leggings and, that real tight shit, don't do it. Because it's going to take forever, And then you don't want to be out there trying to, get some and you hear animal moving around, So, but also make sure that, you wear clothes that's just, you can pull up, pull down, move to the side and get your shit done and get out quick. Be quiet. I know that being quiet is self-explanatory, but what if you're one of those people who can't help but make noise? What if you're a screamer? Now, being in the woods is a good place to scream, but you do take a chance of alerting animals. You put yourself in jeopardy by doing that. And you don't want, like I said a few minutes ago, you don't want an animal walking up on you when you halfway naked or butt naked. So silence is probably a great idea when it comes to getting down outside. But if you just need some type of sound to generate a romantic environment, here's a couple of suggestions. Try talking in a whisper. Dirty talk, while you're whispering. Or if you need to bring your phone with a playlist and play some in the mood type music. The next one is Be Quick. Okay. It's romantic, it's sexy, it's enticing, it's dangerous, it's exciting. But if you're gonna do it, don't be out there long stroking or having multiple orgasms. Don't be out there making love hours in the woods. Please don't. Because you put yourself in jeopardy. It's better to be quick because you don't know what can happen out there in the woods. I think the only way to be quick is to have a position already set in mind. And one of the best positions is standing up doggy style, because it's simple. You're in, you're out. Whereas if you're trying to lay on the ground, or a man is standing up against a tree and he's hoisting a woman in the air, you take a chance of the wood from the tree scraping against you. It's not comfortable, and it's not going to be satisfying, you know, because you're not going to really be able to get into it, because you're going to be wondering if somebody's walking up on you, if an animal is lurking. So the best position I've heard, the best position is stand up doggy style, or, you know, quick blowjob, or, you know, some oral sex, maybe. I think that, I would think that it's a challenging situation. It can be done. It can be done. But there's going to be some challenges that you're going to have to be able to understand that may come up. And you got to be quick about how you respond to those challenges, you know? Because you may have somebody who lives in the woods and who may be walking, or who may hear you out there and they walk up on you. So you have to be careful with that. But to wrap this up in a few words, outdoor sex is quirky and surprisingly a warm portrait of facing challenges outside. It also gives you a chance to feel like you are doing something that's totally different, that's not of the norm. And that's what makes it interesting for the people who have done it. You know, part of me wish I had done it, but, you know, it's not something I'm going to lose sleep over, you know. But I've talked to a couple of people. I know a couple of guys who, when I was in the National Guard, you know, they say they would go out there and do some things, you know. So, I've heard good stories. And it seemed like it's one of those sexual situations that, you know, if done right and if done safe, you can enjoy it. But on that note, this is going to be a short podcast. Kind of like want to get this one out the way. I knew it was going to be short because it's not that much to really go into. You know what I'm saying? It's self-explanatory. You're going to get in there and get out. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be different. And it's more like a bucket list type situation, you know? Unless you just live close by the woods and, you know, it's the place you have to go because you may live with your parents, or you may live with someone who don't want you to have sex in the house, or whatever. Whatever the case may be, it's one of those things that's not really of the norm for most people, you know. But I do find it interesting, and I want to tap into it, you know, just talk about it and give my two cents, even though I've never done it, you know. But I think it's equivalent to, you know, having sex on the beach. The only thing is you don't have a whole lot of trees, and sex on the beach is a little bit more open. You got more people who can spot you from miles away with binoculars, or, you know, if they, you know, just stare at you for a minute, they can see if you're actually being intimate on the beach, you know. Now, if you just between somebody's legs in the missionary style, then yeah, oh, they fucking. But say if you got someone sitting on you and both of y'all just watching the water, and she may have on a dress and, you know, her back is face, her back is to your chest, and you're inside her, then at night you probably can't really tell that. And in the daytime it may be kind of hard to tell unless you just staring, just, you know, looking hard. But, you know, I think it's also about the same as far as being in the woods, you know. I'm trying to think some of the strangest places I've been. Well, you know, I'll just say that for a podcast, different locations, and give that story. I know it's one story in particular. I think a storage unit. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I just wanted to do a short podcast tonight. Also, man, if you are thinking about doing anything as far as this podcasting or doing some type of business, YouTube channel, just do it. I see so many people trying to find the right thing to do, or if it's going to make them money. I mean, when you first start out, unless you just come out the gate smoking, it may take a minute to, you know, get some type of revenue going. But say if you get started now, by this time next year, you never know what could be in your account with a little hard work and some dedication. You know what I'm saying? If that's what you're trying to do, if you're trying to get paid, then yeah, start your own website, make videos, and that way you'll have videos connected to your website. Because with that, you own everything. You don't have to worry about social media. I'm not knocking social media. Social media is cool. But if you're going to do something, have your own website. And then, you know, connect your website to your social media platform. And that way you have followers. You have people who support you. Because with social media, they can go down at any time. They can stop their social media platform, shut it down, and then all your shit is on that platform compared to being on your website. And I haven't done it yet. I'm getting ready to do it. So I'm just talking because it was something I've been thinking about for a long time. And what made me really bring that up, because I did a podcast last week, and my introduction, I said, I apologize for the way it sounded, and it's a software situation. So I had to do the podcast different, because normally I do it off my laptop. So now I'm doing it off my phone. So that might be the route, because when I heard the introduction, it was just like real fast and kind of like skippy. So I may have to change podcast hosting, you know, go with a different company. I don't know. I'll check into it. But until then, I'll be doing my podcast off my phones, you know. But anyway, man, if you're thinking about doing something, just go ahead and do it. Step out there and do it. Don't let nobody discourage you. You know, a lot of people going to, you know, think they're better than you, and they're going to tell you, you know, you shouldn't be doing that, but fuck them. Really, fuck people who not fucking with you. You know what I'm saying? And on that note, man, if y'all want to get at me, hit me up at whenhespeakserotica@gmail. You got anything you want to talk about, critique me on, bring it. I'm open, as long as you're respectable. Anything you want me, you know, tell a story or anything like that, hit me up. Y'all take care. Have a good night. And I'll talk to y'all next week. Peace.